Let's Take This Outside with Marianne Iveson, the podcast where she speaks to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about why they connect with nature.
Jen Adams and Eric Betteridge are experts in bikepacking and the creators of a Log Driver's Waltz, an 800-kilometer bikepacking route through Ontario and Quebec. In 2022, Jen and Eric bikepacked over 7,000 kilometers, which included grand departs on the 4,400-kilometer Tour Divide and a time trial on the North of Seven 770. They have also created a social project they called Bikepacking for All through inclusive panel discussions, mechanics workshops, and rallies. This project has continued to grow as more riders join the bikepacking community. Please give a warm welcome to Jen and Eric. Jen and Eric, welcome to Let's Take This Outside. We all have our cute little homemade mugs ready to go, probably with tea. How are you today? I'm taking a sip while I ask, how are you?
We're good.
I'm good. I've got my favorite mug that I got at the Neighborhood Services about 20 years ago for a quarter. So that's what I'm drinking from.
We have some mutual friends and people, Rial Perriard, who has been a guest on this podcast. I just saw him actually the other day at Bush Taka, which is hilarious. He's a wonderful person. My friend Emily LaFleche does the Log Driver's Waltz, and her partner Carl. So we have a lot of intertwining networks here, so I'm really excited to chat with you.
Cool.
Yeah, likewise. And there's also Liam.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Also a guest on the podcast. Yeah.
Had a great ride to Kingston with Liam.
And he was 14.
When he was 14?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to ask him about that the next time I see him.
One of our many rides to Kingston on the Rideau Lake Cycle Tour. Liam joined in and.
Oh.
Yeah. He was as good then as he is now at endurance sports, so it was good.
I think he might be better now. I don't know. He's pretty good right now.
Yeah. I know. I'm just saying. He was not a dead weight, that's for sure.
I will call you the bikepacking pros when it comes to planning, executing. You were actually at a bikepacking weekend in Chelsea, Quebec. What was that all about? Because that is bikepacking nerd central, right?
It was definitely Bikepacking Nerd Central. It was the Canadian Shield Bikepacking Summit, first edition.
Yeah, and there were also, besides the sort of people that are deep into it, there were quite a number of people that were there to gain information and experience and learn. So it was a really nice mix of people that have a lot of experience and people that have very little or none and are just interested. So it was good.
It was a full weekend of there were rides and a whole program. There were some booths there from the industry, and there was a ton of great exchange and community building over 2 days.
Yeah, and interestingly, I think just over 50% of the participants were women.
Yeah. So we were invited to be speakers in the program. And we had the chance to be the first presentation, and it was actually a lot of fun on Saturday morning to present and then get our presentation out of the way and relax a bit.
I feel like I'm going to get my own presentation over the next 20 or 30 minutes.
Well, every presentation is different. So
I do want to dive into what is bikepacking, whether you're a beginner, whether you're a longtime pro, but you seem... Please excuse me if I'm wrong, but you are total couple goals when it comes to, you've been together for over 30 years and you do everything together and you do outside things together. And I'm like, that's something I want to be able to bike across the country with my spouse and not murder him. That sounds like a dream come true.
You know, that's very interesting. We do a lot of almost everything together. And, we've developed some really good strategies over the years in terms of communication stuff. But it's a constant, I'd say, a continual effort to make sure that we're communicating well and being respectful. And
yeah, but we have always both loved doing big outdoor adventures. And so we like doing them together. And that's a good thing because we can do big things together that are very enriching as a shared experience.
I don't want to get into your deep, dark secrets or anything, but is there anything really dumb
that you fight over? Like maybe one of you doesn't always forgets to pack the Kit Kats, or is there something that you guys always fight over, or something silly like that on bikepacking tours?
I wouldn't say fight, but getting going in the morning is I'm slow, like packing my bag and getting all that. And Jen is not slow. Actually, Jen's not slow at anything, and I'm slow at everything. So there's this constant, a little bit of tension there. So it's more me just putting pressure on myself than her putting pressure on me. So,
Jen, do you have a comment on that? Are you?
that's a reality, but it's not just like forgetting to put the Kit Kat in or whatever. It is a challenging thing that.
Yeah, we recognize it, and so we have to do what we can to mitigate it.
Exactly, and that's what makes a great relationship. Again, to be able, I don't know a lot of couples who could spend as much time together doing something really awesome. So I give you lots of kudos. Let's start with, what is bikepacking? It's a niche. It's something very niche in the cycling world, but it is epic and so cool. It's something I don't do, but something I definitely would do.
Yeah, it is. It's very niche, and it's not new. The new modern materials have kind of added new dimensions to it. It is, to me, it is really adventuring on a bike. It is cycle touring that is done on a bike that allows you to go off the beaten path and carry what you need on your bike to be self-supported and carry your gear on your bike in a way that it's not going to flop around, and it allows you the freedom of a bike that will be able to ride single track or ride gravel roads, the back roads. It's cycle touring.
It's a lot like if you went ultralight hiking, but you took a bike, and then instead of carrying stuff on your back, you shoved it in little bags and tied them all over your bike. Really, that's another definition.
Yes.
I do want to get into more technicalities later, but where did your love of it start? Is it something you discovered together, or is it something that maybe one of you liked first and the other one got into?
We've done a lot of cycling over the years, lots and lots of cycling. And Eric has done more cycling than I have. And he's been definitely the one kind of pulling us toward one kind of cycling or another. I would say I did a bunch of cycle touring when I was younger, and I did mountain biking, toured in Europe, and used a bike a lot, but I didn't work in a bike shop like Eric did.
No, but we actually got into it pretty much by accident. We were supposed to go on a canoe trip one summer, and well, this will sound wimpy, but it was a really buggy summer, and we hadn't actually chosen where we were going to go. We hadn't really got our food together, and so we thought, let's go for a bike ride instead, because maybe we'll be able to not have to camp in the bugs. I mean, which is kind of silly, because we actually have done a lot of camping in the bugs. But that particular year, we just wimped out. And we ended up going to Southern Ontario, and we rode a route called the Butter Tart 700, which at that time was 700 kilometers long. I just saw on the web today that it's 798 kilometers long now, because he keeps on adding to it. Actually, I think he's just trying to catch up to us. So we ended up going down to St. Jacobs and riding the 700 kilometer route, sort of as a holiday, really. We didn't take camping gear, and we took credit cards, and Jen booked us a bunch of places to stay, and we went for a week and had a blast.
We had a really nice holiday, and it was really just taking a lot of cycling trips of the past one step further. We had done, like, every 24th of May weekend, we would do a bike trip with our kids, and we would head out from our place and ride to Charbot Lake or ride to Perth, and we would do a 3-day weekend. What was different about this holiday that we did in 2019 was we found a route, a curated bikepacking route. And a friend of ours lent us their Garmin, and Bill actually loaded the route onto it for us. and then we drove to St. Jacobs, and Eric had the Garmin, and he rode around in circles and found the route. And then we followed this line on the GPS unit. And so we we had the experience for the first time of following a curated bikepacking route. And that really is modern bikepacking at its best, where you're riding somebody's route that brings you into awesome country that you might not have otherwise ridden into, known about, and you can plan your trip around somebody else's route that they put out there and share.
Yeah. Or you can go exploring yourself. I mean, there's definitely that side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can, I think you can probably, I'm assuming here, please correct me if I'm wrong. You can either do, you can camp, or maybe you can book B&Bs, or you can kind of do whatever you want, right? Depending on where you are. And
every bike is different. Everybody's interests are different. And every outing is different. And so people can tailor their bikepacking to whatever they want to do. And it definitely can be credit card camping, where you just bring a minimal amount of clothing to go out for dinner or what have you, go light and sleep in accommodation along the way and buy your food. Or you can bring the full kit. You can bring your tent and bring stove and bring food and be completely self-supported and self-contained, not have to sleep in accommodation along the way.
You have done, it's called the Grand Departs on the 4,400 kilometer Tour Divide. Is that the correct terminology on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's like the mecca for bike packing, right? For like, or for touring, right? That's the big one, right? So correct me, but also, doesn't it go from Canada, like Banff, all the way down to like New Mexico?
Yes, it does.
That's what it is. So yeah, tell me a little bit more about that. But also, how do you even train for a 4,400 kilometer bike ride? I feel like a lot of that's just mental at some point. Like I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you can't go and train for a 4,400 kilometer route. You can do things that will help you prepare. It actually just started this past Friday, so it's actually running right now. Yeah, and it's actually kind of cool because we're following dots of people on track leaders that we know. The thing about it is that yes, it's mental. A lot of it's equipment preparation, a lot of wear and tear on equipment over 4,400 kilometers. And actually, technically, the Tour Divide is a race. Like, it's an underground race, but many people are vying for the fastest known time on it.
Like Leo Wilcox, right? That's one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's got the women's fastest known time, and she's actually really close to it. There's a little dot that's her fastest known time moving down the trail at the same time, and she's very close to her own fastest known time. And looks like the men's fastest known time, or the overall fastest known time, might be up for grabs again this year too. So, and that's after probably a good 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, it has not been broken. But the Tour Divide is kind of the most well-known endurance bikepacking event.
And that's through every kind of weather, every kind of terrain. Like, that is everything you could, from, again, Banff to New Mexico. I can't think of an ecosystem you wouldn't go through.
Yeah, it through four states. It leaves the second Friday in June every year in order to have the longest days available, most sunlight available for people to be riding in. But it also means that there can be a lot of snow in the passes at that time. Not this year. I think it's a fast year in terms of snow, but last year it was a late snowpack melt. And so there was tons of snow in the passes. But the route crosses the Continental Divide 20 times over the course of the distance from Banff to Antelope Wells, New Mexico. It's through back the forestry roads and a lot of state forests. And it's rooted through the most just spectacular landscapes, Canadian Rockies and American Rockies.
And when people talk about Everesting, I don't know how many times you Everest on this route, but it's like four or five anyway. So it's...
Oh, by the way, and for clarification, Everesting is when you do 28,000
yeah.
feet? The equivalent of 28,000 feet, right?
Yes.
And you have, it's not even like you're on like a 10-pound speed on a road. You're carrying all your stuff with you. you're by yourself. I'm sure you're seeing other people and there's people cheering, but
no, there's no people cheering. It's this is self-supported through the woods.
But I mean, maybe in towns, if they're going through towns, there might be some people cheering like on. No, there's no one cheering for you. You're just like in your own head the whole time.
There are individuals along the way that may somehow reach out. They may know about it. There are signs, definitely signs along the way that encourage people. But just want to say one thing, that it is a race. The Tour Divide is a solo, self-supported ride from Banff to New Mexico or from New Mexico to Banff. So right from the get-go, Eric and I relegated ourselves from the race. We were aiming to be there. We started with the Grand Depart and we were riding at what is considered race pace, but we were not technically in the Tour Divide race.
Because we shared
because
food.
We shared
accommodation. So.
Oh, got it. Okay. Well, but you did it and you finished it and you.
Yes. And yeah, we're very proud of that.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Steve Yerko.
And I'm Tara Sands. Now available from Maji Media is our new podcast, 4Kids Flashback. 4Kids is the company who brought you the English dub of Pokemon in the late 90s and so many other shows like Yu-Gi-Oh!, Shaman King, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kirby, the infamous One Piece dub, and so many more.
We'll be talking to the people who worked at 4Kids. Actors, directors, writers, editors, producers, engineers, you get the point. And hopefully get the answers to questions both you and I have about the company.
I actually worked there as a voice actor on some of the shows.
And I was a kid watching the shows and remember way more than Tara does.
And thank God for that. Steve is actually a professional storyboard artist, which gives some really unique insights into anime and animation. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. That's the number 4Kids Flashback.
Let's Take This Outside now has a newsletter. Keep up to date with outdoor news, events, and great discount codes and deals from our partners. Sign up today at letstakethisoutside.ca.
I really want to turn this to, you know, the Tour Divide's amazing, but I want to talk about what you have created for people in Eastern Ontario, the Log Driver's Waltz, which is coming up July 29th, correct?
Yes.
So this started, did this start in the pandemic? Where did this idea come from? And what does Log Driver's Waltz even mean? Like, what does that have to do with cycling?
The Log Driver's Waltz bikepacking route is an 800 kilometer.
Jeez, so crazy.
Route that we created around the Ottawa and Gatineau valleys. And we created it, really the idea of it, all came together on our drive home from riding the Buttertart 700, the bikepacking route in the Bruce Peninsula. We had such a good holiday.
Also, Bruce Peninsula, like the most beautiful part of Ontario. It's amazing.
Oh, it's just gorgeous.
Second most beautiful part of Ontario.
One of the most beautiful parts of Ontario. Sorry, guys. Sorry, I just interrupted you. Okay.
Really gorgeous. And the curated route, the experience of riding a curated route, was really, really rich for us. And on our drive home, we said, well, we know the back roads of the Ottawa Valley, and we could put together a really fantastic bikepacking route that we could kind of paint for other people to enjoy this area in the same way that we enjoyed the Bruce Peninsula.
Yeah, the goal is to kind of create a guidebook, if you will, that takes people into places that only locals would know about. So it's sharing like the best of the best. You know, it's easy to go and say, okay, I'm just going to ride my bike around someplace, but we really wanted to take people to some of our favorite spots and show the places that we love and the steep climbs we found and the great little lakes and nice river cross.
Well, steep climbs wouldn't be on my list. I thought you meant like cafes.
Well, there's also some good cafes and B&Bs and, you know, pretty much every kilometer of it has memories for us. So, we're sort of sharing our past with.
Yeah, where you can get gorgeous or artisanal cheese along the way. And the points of interest of things to see are all mapped out. They're set out for people to plan their ride around.
That's something that I really appreciate and really love, because when I've only been gravel biking for a few years, it was a pandemic buy. I love it. But one of the things is like accessibility, finding routes, finding all like ridegravel.ca was one of my favorite, it's been one of my favorite resources. Grab is a great resource, seeing other people's routes, but finding people who are trustworthy, who have done the routes, who know the routes, who I think that is such a big part of accessibility when it comes to people being interested in it, because it's so overwhelming because there's so many roads, you don't know where to go. It can be wildly overwhelming. So thank you for doing your part and creating these routes, whether it's for the log drivers, waltz, or in general, just around Eastern Ontario.
Yeah. And if you're into, as you are into gravel, we have a lot of shorter routes too.
I was just, yes, can you, what is the shortest log, like, I'm serious, what's the shortest log drivers waltz route?
The cafe.
Can I do it in like one day? Is there one I can do in like a day?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. There's a lot around 40 to 70 kilometers, actually.
Perfect.
If you look on our website, the Gatineau Reels, we have a page for one to weekenders and day trips and weekenders, I think we call it. You know, so, and those can be stitched together to make like a 2-day trip or a 3-day trip or what have you. We have a number that are in the 350 kilometer range, which is 3-day trip. Or a 2-day trip, or for some people, a 1-day trip, because some people like to ride through the night. There's a really nice one, actually, that you might like. It's called Up and Over Eardley, and it's 142 kilometers, and it's got a ferry ride in it, and it goes through the Gatineau Park. As soon as we put up the Log Driver's Waltz at 800K, we have a lot of friends who like to bike, but sort of said, well, A, you two are nuts, we know that, but also, I'd like to do this, but I don't want to ride. I can't, or I don't have the time, or I find 800 kilometers too intimidating. So we started to put out shorter routes so they'd be more accessible.
That's fantastic. And say you're not in Eastern Ontario, say you're listening and you're Vancouver or somewhere else in Canada or the US. Is there any other resources that you would direct people to get into bikepacking, or any other routes that you would recommend?
Sure. I mean, bikepack.ca. So that's a Canmore-based website. What they've done is assembled routes from all over. So that would be a good place to start. There are Facebook groups, I mean, BC Bikepacking. It's actually quite active. We belong to it. And there's always people saying, hey, I want to go up the Cowichan Valley or something. I don't know. And somebody will suggest a route.
Routes are exploding. Matthew Cady, who made the Butter Tart 700, took on a massive project this past year, and he has stitched together using a lot of existing bikepacking routes. He stitched together a massive route that goes across the country, the Great Northern.
Say you're someone who enjoys cycling like me, but finding, you know, all of that gear and everything is a little bit intimidating, a little bit daunting. How do you ease yourself into it so it's not as overwhelming? Like, where do you start?
Oh, that it's a really fun part of it, I think.
Gear shopping is very fun, I agree.
Yeah, but there's also an obsession with gear. You don't need much to get into it. I think that's you know, almost any bike will do. And you know, not bungee cords, but you know, good straps and some dry bags and a rack, and you can head out right away. Almost, I would say.
Yeah, and there are bike shops that rent fully equipped bikepacking bikes, and you can borrow. Absolutely, we know that you know, we lend stuff out to people, and we know that there are all kinds of people that are into bikepacking and are very happy to lend gear. So you can try it out.
Something I love is a project you have. It's a hashtag also, Bikepacking for All, because all I want in this podcast is for people to enjoy the outdoors and do so at all levels. What does that look like, and how can people participate again? Because this can be something that might be intimidating. So how can people feel like a little bit more safe and more comfortable in this atmosphere?
Maybe I'll let you talk about being invited to the...
I was invited to sit in on a women, trans, and non-binary panel, a virtual panel that was hosted by a group of bikepackers in Britain. Through our Tour Divide experience, we met one of the organizers of a fantastic looking bikepacking event in the Yorkshire Dales called the Dales Divide. And organizers of that want to see more women riding the Dales Divide. They want to see more women on the line. And this group of women put this panel discussion together of women that had ridden the Dales Divide to share experience of their riding in order to break down the barriers to getting into it. And I thoroughly enjoyed the experience of this panel, and we copied it.
We replicated.
We copied the structure of it, and we actually hosted two panels with the idea of promoting bikepacking for all. We hosted a panel for women, trans, and non-binary riders, and then an open panel. And we've tried to build from there to do other things that can equip people with the knowledge and the confidence to go out and build their own adventures. And it's been one thing to the next, where we hosted a couple of mechanics workshops. We had a couple of really fun spring rallies where we invited people to go bike packing and camp together on a Friday night in May, and then camp together again on the Saturday. So we rode between Ottawa and
Pakenham
and then back to Ottawa on Sunday. And so it's events that build community and really give people experience with bike packing in a way that will hopefully build a broader participation.
Oh, sounds amazing. That's so good.
One of the things that we did with the rallies is that we earmarked, if you will, half of the spaces for women, trans, and non-binary, so that it was very much as inclusive. We actually said underrepresented groups. I mean, traditionally underrepresented groups. So that was a big thing in that. And again, with the mechanics sessions, Jen and Emily, Emily LaFleche, who you know, ran one for that was specifically women, trans, and non-binary as well. And also along with Dominique, right?
Dominique
was there. And then, we have these open sessions, which, I mean, a lot of people just come back, many people that attended both sessions. But the point being that we want it to be accessible. There's two sides of bike packing. There's like the real, I'd say, the people that are, you know, wanting to race from Banff to New Mexico, or they want to race, and I'm putting it in quotes, but they want to go as fast as they can, and they're very driven. And then there's people that are just, you know, learning or really actually prefer to go at a slower pace and swim in every lake and, you know, stop and sample all the gourmet food and
riding from pub to pub.
Right. We knew people who did that too. So, but I mean, it does mean both ends of the spectrum. It's not like bikepacking for all is not just like a group within the all, it's all. So
there's also the financial side of things where we don't want to see bikepacking being something that is inaccessible financially. It really can be. Get yourself a bike and you can very simply, very inexpensively tie your stuff to your bike, attach your stuff to your bike to be able to get out there and bikepack. And the Log Driver's Waltz is there's no registration fee. It's an invitation for people to follow our route or use our route as a framework from which they can deviate and create their own route, incorporating some of the Log Driver's Waltz. But it's financially, we want to see bikepacking for all as well.
Thank you for living that, and thank you for giving a safe space for underrepresented groups and being able to share that. So I think that is huge. And again, thank you for doing that. How do people sign up for the Log Driver's Waltz. You said there's no registration fee. A little bit more information, like where can people go, website?
Website is logdriverswaltz.ca.
Easy.
And there's a page. It says Grand Depart 2023. At the bottom of it is a Google form, and you fill it in. And right now there are 63 people who've said that they're going to come.
Wonderful. And again, what is this for the Grand Depart? What's the shortest route?
There's a half.
Yeah.
But so there's a 350 kilometer route.
Got it. I'm not there yet. Maybe I'll look at your website and do like the shorter, like nice day ones where I can swim in a lake and eat at a cafe. That sounds really nice.
You could do one night. Alex Garcia raised the point on the weekend where he and his wife rode one day, started the Grand Depart, rode one day, and I think went to a family cottage and then looped back on a different route. And so they made their own little route.
Yeah, so we were actually talking about that. And it is possible just to come and, you know, ride for a day, or I don't know. That's
maybe I'll ride a section with Emily. Maybe I'll see if she'll let me.
And that's also a good thing, right? Is to find a friend or a mentor, or somebody who can. We learned and we continue to learn from all of our friends and people that we meet, because everybody has got little ideas and things that you can incorporate into your own practice. So it's a one of the things that we found about the bikepacking community is it really is probably one of the most supportive, because there's not really a competition, or even if there is a competition, it's just so much that everybody just shares. They just tell, like, this is how I do it, because really that's not going to change anything. Really, there's no prizes. There's no...
Yeah, the competition that there is all very friendly competition, because... There are no medals. There's no fanfare. Very, very often you end your ride, you finish your ride, and there's nobody around. it's
the other thing too is that it is you know, solo, self supported. So it's entirely on your own choice, and you're totally responsible for your own safety and your own decisions and that sort of thing. So
but it doesn't have to be solo.
It's true.
You pick the kind of competition that you want. If you want competition, so there you can. There's pairs. There's tandems. There's single speed. There's doing it for taking absolutely as much time as you want. Everything's possible.
That's what I love about this, and that's why I'm so glad that we connected today, Jen and Eric, logdriverswaltz.ca, coming up July 29th. I'm going to have to bug Emily a little bit more about getting out. Maybe I can ride with you someday. That'd be super fun.
That'd be super cool.
Thanks for listening. For more Let's Take This Outside, go to letstakethisoutside.ca.
You looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C., as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. Learn strategies to optimize your own well-being and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, The Fountain App, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.
Produced and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.